I don't really have a preliminary statement to make here. Why don't we just jump into questions, and I'll go down the list that Maria's given me here. Is Craig there, Craig Kennedy?
I am, Senator.
Did you have a question? How are you doing?
Well, I'm well. Not bad for a Monday.
Good.
Let's start with three letters, see how you weigh in, AIG.
Well, I think there's a push to try to do something in the Senate this week to deal with the issue of bonuses at AIG, and I hope that we can come to some reasonable accommodation there. I do think some limits on bonuses are appropriate for executives with who've obtained the kinds of funds that AIG has from the taxpayer, for sure. At the same time, we want to be sure that the ability of these financial institutions to recover is not impeded by something else we do. So I think we need to work with the president. I saw his statement last night indicating a desire to work with the Congress to come up with something that's reasonable there, and I hope we can.
Do you join the president in being concerned that perhaps taxing these bonuses might be against the Constitution?
Well, I do think it raises questions when you single out a particular group and apply a particular tax to them, and also, as he pointed out, when you use the tax code really to, in a punitive way, and that's clearly the purpose that was reflected in the legislation the House passed. I don't know that we need to finally enact legislation that accomplishes that. But as I say, putting restrictions on what can be used, what can be done with taxpayer money that's turned over to corporations like AIG, I think is appropriate.
And finally, I guess I just want to ask, what are your concerns, if any, about the investors who ultimately will be needed to swoop in and do some trading in this situation, and some of their fears over public backlash toward them?
Well, I don't know all the details of Secretary Geithner's proposal, but I think if it's properly sold to the American people, I think there'll be there'll be general support for the private investors coming in and assisting with this. I think that it can be set up in a way that benefits private investors but also benefits the government and the taxpayer.
Thanks, Senator.
Uh-huh. Elaine, are you there? I don't hear Elaine. Bill, how about you? Bill Dupuy?
I am here, thanks. The legislature has passed a memorial asking members of the congressional delegation from New Mexico to go to the president and see that money is appropriated and be brought forward to establish a national research center in renewable energy in New Mexico with a base at the two national labs and a headquarters here in Santa Fe. Any thoughts on whether that might be possible?
Well, frankly, I don't think it would likely be possible. I just saw this resolution here this morning that our state legislature passed. It calls for a very substantial appropriation, I think $7 billion each year, to our two laboratories in New Mexico, to in addition to what they currently are involved with. I think that of course, would be a very heavy lift and difficult to sell to others here in the Congress, given the size of the deficits we're faced with. And then the idea of setting up a National Renewable Energy Administration. I have not seen that proposed here in the Congress. We have a renewable energy laboratory up in Golden, Colorado, and of course we have a lot of work related to renewable energy going on at Sandia and at Los Alamos, which I think we need to build on. But I don't see us enacting an entire new administration and headquartering it in Santa Fe as this resolution proposes.
But the resolution does simply suggest that the delegation get together and make that proposal. Would that be possible for the delegation to consider doing?
Well, we can consider it. As I say, I think we would first want to assess whether or not it had any real potential for being enacted. I don't want to just be proposing things in order to for public relations purposes if we don't have any prospect of enacting it. Frankly, I'm doubtful that we would have much prospect of enacting this.
Okay, thanks.
Evan, are you there?
Yes, I am, Senator. Good morning.
Morning.
Going back to AIG, you know, you've got the House passing measures to tax heavily, and then you've got, you know, Barney Frank saying that that the government should sue AIG. I mean, specifically, what do you think is the solution, and how do you think the Senate will proceed on this?
Well, I think the overall solution is to try to let the new management of AIG that we've put in place try to work their way through the problems. They've been trying to do that. You know, I think the current CEO there at AIG, Mr. Libby, is I believe he's working for $1 a year. So this is not a deal where he's fleecing the taxpayer. So I think we had confidence. The Secretary of Treasury had confidence to put him into that position. We ought to give him a chance to operate and do the job before we try second guessing him and trying to micromanage what he does.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh. John McBreen.
Oh, good morning.
Hi, again. John. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you, Senator. Just continuing, it seems like there maybe was a cynicism or maybe there's some truth to it, at least when the AIG rescue bill was passed, that I guess a number of people may have not taken the time to read the 2,500 pages and didn't realize there may not be that strong oversight. Juan, did you read the 2,500 pages, and what do you think's happening now when it comes to maybe making sure there is oversight?
Well, first, I'm not exactly sure what 2,500 pages you're referring to. I don't think we've passed any bills here that are 2,500 pages long. We've passed the large stimulus package, which was the biggest piece of legislation that we enacted. I think most of the money that's gone to AIG has gone under the TARP program, this Troubled Assets Relief Program that was enacted last October. And that legislation I did read before we enacted it. I think in retrospect, there probably are some safeguards and some requirements we should have put in there that we did not. But I do think that the Secretary of Treasury now is working very hard to see that the funds that are being dispensed by the Department of Treasury and by the Federal Reserve to these financial institutions are properly administered.
I guess the Secretary of the Treasury did announce the latest, you know, rescue plan of trying to buy up the toxic assets, and you think that should have been the approach that was tried earlier, and what do you think of the mechanism now?
Well, frankly, I haven't studied the details of this mechanism, so I don't have a firm opinion on it yet. I think it's one of several actions that the administration's come up with, which they believe will help dig us out of this economic downturn that we're in. I think we need to give it a chance. That's my initial reaction. And see what the reaction of the financial community is. If we can bring the private sector to the table to work with government to get these assets off the books of these financial institutions in a way that the taxpayer is not harmed and the private sector also, I think that's a good result. But whether or not it's going to work that way, I'm just not clear yet.
Since you were there with the savings and loan problem, what could we have learned, you know, from having bought those old troubled savings and loans and selling them? Is there any of that experience that could be applicable today?
Well, I think there the government actually stepped in and took over a great many of these troubled savings and loans. And I know that there's a drumbeat by some to have the government step in and take over some of our major financial institutions and take them under government control entirely. I think it's better if we can avoid that. I think that this plan that Secretary Geithner's come up with is clearly an effort to avoid that. And as I say, I'm inclined to say to give this new plan a chance and see how it works over the next month or so.
I'll pass for now.
All right, Craig, we're back to you.
Yeah, finally, just one other question, Senator. What would you think about just saying no bonuses, period, to any of these companies taking TARP funds, Because we have a lot of folks just saying, where are these so-called best and brightest going to go for another job if they didn't get their bonus?
Well, I think that one of the causes of this problem, frankly, is that in the financial sector, as I understand it, and really in the corporate sector more generally, top management is compensated through a salary and a bonus on a regular basis. That is the normal compensation package. I think for most of us who are not in the corporate sector and not in the financial sector and not top management, we do not think of a bonus that way. We think of a bonus as something extra, which you may or may not get each year. That's not the way it's viewed that's not the practice in the corporate sector. I think that for us to have some limits on what the total compensation package of these people should be in companies that the federal government puts substantial funds into, I think is appropriate. But I think some of the confusion is just the labeling of something as a bonus, where clearly most people believe, and I believe, that the people who are getting these so-called bonuses really haven't done anything to justify getting paid above and beyond their normal pay.
Thanks, Senator. Nothing else today.
Okay. Elaine, are you there yet? Don't hear Elaine. Bill, go ahead if you have another question.
I think I'll pass for now, thanks.
Okay. Evan, how about you?
Yes, sir. Last week, Representative Louise Slaughter, who chairs the House Rules Committee, she's the only microbiologist in the House, she introduced a bill which is called the Preservation of Antibiotics for Medical Treatment Act, which is legislation which would limit the use of antibiotics in livestock feed and for livestock that are not sick. And she's claiming that a very excessive amount of antibiotics are used in animals in factory or crowded farms or industrial farms, and that the use of these antibiotics creates a possibility of having antibiotic-resistant bacteria get into the food supply, the water supply. And there have been efforts to get a bill such as this passed since around 1980 and efforts in the last three Congresses, as a matter of fact. She seemed pretty confident that the bill would make it out of the House, and I was wondering what your take is on this bill. Is it necessary? And if it makes it over to the Senate, does it have a chance in the Senate?
Well, frankly, I don't know if it's necessary. I do agree with you that it's an issue that Congress has been considering at some level for some time now. I guess my initial reaction is I think we ought to probably have the new head of the Food and Drug Administration come in and testify as to the appropriateness of this legislation and the need for it. I think of the Food and Drug Administration as being the agency primarily responsible for ensuring the safety of the food we eat and the drugs we consume, and to the extent that the overuse of antibiotics in the livestock industry is jeopardizing the health of Americans, we ought to know that.
Okay. But do you think if the bill did make it over to the Senate, do you think it would have any chance of passing?
Well, I think it might have some chance. I think, again, as far as I know, the hearings that would be needed to really understand the issue haven't yet occurred, and I would want to hear what some of the experts say before I took a position one way or another on it.
Thank you, Senator.
Uh-huh. John, we're back to you.
When it comes to the omnibus bill, and particularly the public lands bill, I understand, I guess, there is a procedural problem with the final passage of the omnibus bill, especially when it comes to Navajo Gallup and the other projects and measures that were listed in the bill. Have those procedural problems been worked out, and what were we talking about?
Well, we think the procedural problems have been worked out. What we did last week was, as you may know, when we passed that public lands bill in January and sent it to the House of Representatives, when we in the Senate passed it and sent it to the House of Representatives, they got into a procedural disagreement there and added some language and then tried to pass it on what they call a suspension calendar, which means they needed two-thirds of the members of the House voting to support it. They fell a couple of votes short of passing it on that in that basis. We then brought the same bill up with one minor change, and we put it into a House bill that had come to the Senate last week and sent it back to the House, and we believe the House will pass it this week in that form.
How often does that happen when, I guess, someone can't get the total number of members present in either House? Does that happen very often?
Because every procedural problem that can occur does occur here in the Congress, and so this was one of those which occurred as we were trying to get the legislation passed. I think there's a strong majority in the House of Representatives in favor of the legislation, just as we had a strong majority in the Senate in favor of it, and I believe they'll pass it this week and send it to the President.
How does this work? You get the authorization. When's the appropriation discussion start?
Well, the appropriation discussions start right away. The appropriations subcommittees are currently beginning to do their hearings to prepare appropriations bills for the new fiscal year, which begins in October. So that process is ongoing.
I know this will be part of the Bureau of Reclamation's budget. How much approximately would you be looking for when it comes to Navajo Gallup, at least in the first year?
Well, it depends on how far along the Bureau of Reclamation is in the planning and designing of some of what might be involved there. I think the reality is we're not going to be asking for funds to do work that isn't ready to be done yet. And so I think that the initial challenge here is going to be getting this planning and design work done.
Okay, I'll pass for now.
All right, let me go back through the list here. Craig, are you still there?
Complete today, thank you.
Okay, Senator. And Elaine never came on. Bill, you didn't think anything, did you? Don't hear Bill. Evan, how about you?
I'm all set, Senator. Thanks for your time.
Okay, John, we're back to you.
I know the first time we were supposed to meet with you, I guess you were chairing Energy and Natural Resources, and What's the big measure that you've been working on in that committee?
Well, we're trying to do a comprehensive energy bill this year, as we did one in 2005 and 2007. We're trying to do another one here in 2009. And we've been having a series of hearings to prepare for that the markup of that legislation. And that was what was occupying me last week. It'll occupy me some this week, and we hope to begin that markup of that legislation with at least a few parts of it next week.
What are you looking at in the way of a markup? Are you going to be looking at specific ideas, projects, or what?
Well, we're looking to see what more we can do to encourage more energy efficiency in appliances, in building construction. We're looking to see how we can better deploy renewable energy resources by strengthening the loan guarantee program that's currently on the books and giving additional authority to the administrator of that program to do other things in addition to just guaranteeing loans to be sure that these projects get built. We're looking to expand the transmission grid and hopefully pass something in the nature of a renewable electricity standard, which would be a requirement on utilities to produce a certain amount of the power that they sell from renewable sources.
As you readily know, the majority leader isn't too happy with using Yucca Mountain as a nuclear repository. Would that be something to be tackled in this bill, or would that be another measure?
No, I think that'll be in a different bill. I don't know what legislation related to Yucca Mountain is likely to come up. I think the battle there is over the funding for continued work on Yucca Mountain, and the majority leader has taken a strong position against continuing with that funding, and so I think it is getting more and more difficult to get the work done.
I have about three other issues I could pass for now.
Well, I think you're the last person asking questions, so why don't you go ahead.
Okay, one thing I haven't heard too much about recently is that I know you and Senator Udall have been rather, you know, concerned about the problem with the drug cartels in Mexico. What have you heard from President Obama about maybe trying to intensify the guard presence along the border, not only here but in Arizona and California?
Well, I think that Janet Napolitano, our new Homeland Security Secretary, and Eric Holder, our new Attorney General, are both have met many times now, I believe, and have developed something of a joint strategy for strengthening the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms activities on the border to keep weapons from going into Mexico, to better control the border with the Border Patrol personnel down there. So I think that there's a coordinated effort being developed to try to help Mexico in this regard and to ensure definitely that, that whatever violence occurs in Mexico not come over into the United States.
So you think that the Guard might be the last resort?
Well, I don't think that it makes a lot of sense to rely on the National Guard at this point. I think, at least I have not heard of a function that they would be required for, and I haven't heard any discussion about deploying the National Guard to the border again.
Just going briefly to the budget resolution, which you traditionally will pass, and how contentious has that been, this discussion been so far as to how much money you really want to spend, with the stimulus package and then, of course, TARP, and then you got the budget. Has anyone come up with any idea of how much money will be available, for the just a regular budget to operate government?
Well, that is the subject of a great deal of debate here in Congress. This week, the Budget Committee here in the Senate will develop a budget to present to the full Senate next week. And there's going to be a lot of heated debate about the size of the budget, about what the money's going to, about our projections for budget deficits in the future. It's a very serious issue and one that we need to give a lot of attention to.
And to one other issue, that being as President Obama wants to send additional troops to Afghanistan to try to bolster the efforts there, how much of a discussion can you see in the Senate about maybe conditions for us to bolster the troop presence there so we don't get into another situation like we have in Iraq? Well, you think you expect a lot of debate on that?
Well, I think there will be, but I think both the president and the Congress are waiting for this strategic review that the president called for to really try to go back and rethink what we're doing there, what we need to be there for, how large a troop presence we need to maintain there for what period of time, what else we can do that's not of a military nature to try to stabilize that situation. All of those issues are the subject of this strategic review, and once the answers to that come back, which they should in the next month or so, I think then we'll have quite a debate on it here in the Congress.
How will it help, if I understand this right, President Sarkozy's talking about letting France join the unified command once again with NATO? You think that may make the decisions a little easier if you get France involved now as part of the NATO force there?
Well, I don't know. And I haven't followed President Sarkozy's statements that closely, so I don't know that that's going to resolve anything. But clearly, the more NATO members we can involve in that operation, I think, as a general matter, the better we are.
That's all I have, Senator.
Okay. Good talking to you. Bye-bye.